Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Talking Natural Capital, the podcast from Galbraith. I'm Matt Finlay and today I'm joined as always by our natural capital and carbon leader, Eleanor Harris. Eleanor, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I'm feeling quite wild this week.
Good, we'll get on to that in a second. It only took about 20 seconds for you to get the first pun in there, so that's pretty good shooting.
See if we can keep it up the next half an hour.
And making up the panel is CEO of Galbraith, Martin Castles. Martin, welcome for what is your Talking Natural Capital debut.
Thank you very much, and yeah, good to see you. My first experience of a natural capital podcast.
Well, we look forward to having you on, obviously, for the next half an hour or so. Eleanor, today we're going to be covering 30 Days Wild. First off, quite simply, what is 30 Days Wild?
Well, 30 Days Wild is an initiative launched by the Wildlife Trust about 7 years ago. It's been running for quite a while now, and it's a very simple challenge that throughout the month of June, you're challenged to do something wild every day for 30 days. So that's connecting with nature in some way. Is what they mean. It could be, and that you can interpret that in any way you like. So it's a nature connection challenge, and it's something I've been involved with off and on over the course of its life, and very excited to be taking part this year with Galbraith.
It's been encouraged for as many of us to do it. There's now a big group chat, and there's grown in numbers over the last few days. And Martin, you're part of that. And what did you feel that's important for the staff to take up the 30 Days Wild challenge?
Well, when we first talked about it, I think it was a really good idea to get people to take part and, I suppose, open up their eyes to what's around them. It's a good way when we're all talking about natural capital, but also in the day-to-day activities we do as a business, to perhaps look around us a bit more. And it doesn't actually have to even be if you're in the hills or in the countryside, as Eleanor has shown with some of the things she's been doing particularly, you can find some interesting things that are pretty wild, even in the city or beside a road. It doesn't have to be in some wild landscape. So I've been really encouraged by how many people have taken part and some of the things they've been sharing in the group that we've got.
Yeah, and Eleanor, obviously, as the world kind of, in the last few years, certainly, I would say, is really starts to engage with maybe nature, kind of become a lot more streetwise, perhaps, on the environment around them. Is this something that you kind of, is something that people have really been wanting to do for quite a while?
I think it's, it's certainly a growing, this challenge has been a growing movement. It's really escalated. And I was really heartened when I suggested it as one of my wild ideas at a Galbraith team meeting, and it was taken up with huge enthusiasm by people from all across the firm. We've got people who work very much with nature, the forestry and the rural teams are out in the countryside, but a lot of our work is not particularly nature-based. It's working with buildings or money or property or engineering. And we're all starting to become more aware of the biodiversity crisis that's going on around us. And I think people are starting to realise that it's something we need to know about. And I think once people start finding out about it and start engaging in this way, they start to discover that actually that experience of connecting with nature, and whether that's through mindfulness sorts of things or through educational things, finding out the names of flowers, or through games with children or without children, and or just making the effort to get out when perhaps it's not such a nice day as it wasn't in Edinburgh today, that really changes, that does change the way you perceive nature and you think about nature. Certainly I've found it incredibly empowering. I grew up as an environmentalist and thinking we need to solve these great global problems, and they're so overwhelming. And how do you tackle climate change on a global scale or habitat destruction around the world? And actually getting back to nature on our doorstep. Another thing that you can do during 30 Days Wild is things like plant some wildflower seeds or put up a bug hotel, do little things for nature and actually see the results there in your back garden. Or in your street, and that really gives you a sense of, yes, we can change the world, and we can reconnect with nature, and we can make those links back. So I think the more people do it, the more it grows, and it's it's a very positive thing altogether.
Definitely. And is it something maybe you would like to see more people embrace, it obviously as the years go on, almost that maybe it doesn't necessarily have to just be like a 1 month thing? Is it something that you would like to see throughout the course of a year? Is it maybe something in 20 years time that you would like to look at and say, well, we don't need to do that anymore because people just do it?
It's known that we are disconnected from nature in the UK, and this is perhaps the less encouraging side of the story, is that there was a paper came out this week, I think timed for 30 days wild month, looked at indicators across Europe of three things. One was nature connectedness, which can sort of how connected people feel to nature. Two was biodiversity intactness, how good the environment still is. And three was sense of well-being. And they found that the UK of European countries scored one of the lowest on all these levels, that we have changed our environment more than most, and we are more urbanised and more disconnected from nature, and we've actually got lower well-being. And it also found that there was a correlation between those things. This wasn't a coincidence. And so it's really vital that we do start to rebuild those connections and start to change that. And I do think, certainly once you've done it, it is an exercise, a challenge that you go into perhaps thinking, oh, that would be quite fun to do for a month, but you do come out of it changed. I think I'll be interested to see what those who are doing it for the first time find by the end of the month. Martin might have some thoughts already, having been at it for 10 days or so. How are you finding it?
It's interesting because, I found myself, I've missed recording something for today because I've been busy or done something else. But equally, on other days, slightly gone out of my way to think, must look out for something. And then found that's something that others might be interested in, from the obscure to the obvious, I suppose. And I'm lucky enough to live in a country location, so I've got lots of things on my doorstep and a nice river and things, and found a few things there to share. But yesterday I was just taking 10 minutes to get a little bit of exercise at lunchtime, walking along a very busy road near our Stirling office, and spotted a fantastic ant train across a pavement, which made me stop and think, oh, that's quite interesting. So it's that kind of thing, that even if you're in an urban environment, there are some things out there that are quite interesting. This morning I just happened to be at the kitchen sink and saw wagtails parading around my lawn, which is just a nice thing to see. And again, you might not have otherwise have shared that. So yeah, from the mental health benefit, the one thing that it did make me remember was, it was actually an advert for different reasons about people's mental health and perhaps to do with teenagers, but we can apply it to ourselves as well, about looking up from your phone. It's quite tempting when you're outside and very busy to multitask, as I often do, and go stomping off for a walk with the dog or something and multitask by phoning somebody. And by not doing that, you actually tend to take in other things round about you a little bit more. And that certainly has made me do that once or twice in the last, just over a week, I suppose, to appreciate things. And maybe that's a really good benefit from a mental health perspective, but also just taking time out to appreciate stuff that's around about you.
I think that when I was trying to rope people into this at the end of May, and there was, I was really pleased, there was lots of enthusiasm, but quite a lot of people were saying, that's one more thing, you know, I'm too busy, I can't fit yet another thing in, I can't do another challenge. My thought is, if you've got time to do it, you're the chief executive, then why? It really should be something that isn't an onerous challenge. It's something you can do in a minute. And I made a list of ideas for people, and one of the categories was things you can do in a minute, or things you can do while multitasking, like eat lunch outside.
I'll admit that so spending an hour going to do something in the middle of a day or of a weekday is pretty much impossible. But those bits and pieces that I've mentioned there are examples of things, and they haven't necessarily been in the working day, they've been early in the morning or late at night or something. And it's been really nice to see one or two people posting on our group chat, or I hadn't really appreciated the bird song in the morning, for example. They'd been out early morning, as I am early morning as well, and it's been a nice day, Equally, it was pouring with the rain when I was out this morning, and I was sort of huddled in a jacket, and it's slightly more difficult when it's like that to think of or appreciate something else other than, oh well, it's quite a good thing it's raining because we haven't had any rain for a while, so that'll make everything grow. You know, there's a bit of that as well.
I quite like the bad weather days, doing 30 days while I'm more likely to do something I wouldn't have done anyway, because I'm working from home today and it's raining, and sometimes I would just stay in the house all day and maybe read a book for relaxation. But I thought, no, I have to get out, I have to tick my 30 days wild box. So I went round to my local churchyard and did my traditional thing of looking at the moss on the walls, and they all had little raindrops on, so I was taking photos of them through my hand lens. That wasn't a brand new experience for me, but it's certainly something I probably wouldn't have done if I hadn't been doing a challenge, and certainly got me out of the house and into the environment on a day when I would usually avoid it, and you get the smell of the rain and the sort of sense of the rain on your skin and fewer people about.
It was one thing I was actually just pointing on what Martin had said there. I think it reminded me very much of like maybe the first lockdown a little bit, this kind of like people maybe more embracing the environment around them. Obviously, there was once during lockdown where you were only allowed like your hour a day getting out and doing your exercise. And for me, certainly, it was something at the time. I remember getting out and just going for a walk around, like around my local town. It's a place I've walked around for years, but I've never really kind of just taken it in a little bit more. And I think that lockdown allowed us to appreciate that a little bit more. A lot of people I know would be the same. And okay, I'd maybe go on and take a phone call or something like that, or just kind of listen to my music. Or actually, there's times where I didn't take my music and I would just walk around, and which we're able to. And I think that that's something that I'm noticing people getting out and about. It's just, I don't know, the parallels are there, that it's reminding me again of that, not that time certainly, because it was a lot worse time than it is now, but very much like getting out and just embracing that. Is that something, Eleanor, that you maybe you can relate to a little bit more, and Martin as well? Or,
well, I do think that there's so many good things came out of the pandemic, as well as some pretty awful things too. We're now adopted flexible working and hybrid working, and I'm working at home today. That does save a 30-mile commute back and forward to the office, but it as well as getting some extra time in the day that I probably use for working when I shouldn't be. But it's like the lockdown. I know many people who found all sorts of walks around where they live which had never been on before, because they were suffering from cabin fever and had to get out, or had children in the house, they had to get out. Similarly, I did a lot more cycles around and about where I lived that I hadn't normally done, and discovered places that didn't know existed or hadn't been along. So I think that parallel with the 30 days wild, interestingly, if you are working from home, it's a bit like when you're in the office. It's very easy to just go and get a sandwich and sit at your desk and eat it. But if it encourages you to take 5 or 10 minutes just to go and get a bit of fresh air, or stretch your legs, or, as I said, look around at something, I think it does do that, which is quite a good, it's quite a good reminder, or a good habit to get into, actually, because it's very bad if you just quickly go and grab something and then go back to it, because it's not actually good for your mental health to do that anyway.
I tend to do a sort of quite small range of things, so I wanted to really broaden that out when I was suggesting things to the staff at Galbraith, so there's plenty of choice. And one that I've never managed to do really is something ecologists do, which is find a sit spot. And so a sit spot is a place near your house or somewhere you go regularly where you can just go and sit for 20 minutes or perhaps half an hour. I've heard that if you sit somewhere for 20 minutes quietly, then the natural world kind of forgets you're there, and the birds will start coming out and the deer will come and wander about, and you're not seen as a threat anymore. So the idea is you sit in this place just for some period of time as often as possible and watch the changing seasons and see what the difference is. And that reminded me of lockdown, when we all walked around the same places and saw the similar things. That kind of, I'm not very good at that discipline, but I have started to try to, I live quite near the sea, and started to try to, rather than just going for a walk to the beach and walking along and walking back, if it's a nice day, take my phone, walk to the beach, have a bit of nature awareness, and then stay there and do my emails or make my phone calls still on the beach. So I don't think it's an either or, and I think the flexible working model that came out of lockdown has really opened up possibilities. But the thing I'm most enjoying this time, this 30 Days Wild, is our staff WhatsApp group that we set up. And I've lost count of how many people are on it now, but lots of people. And some are watching quietly. And when I speak to them, they say, oh, yeah, we're doing things, but we don't want to post them on the chat. But there's a good number. There's a good dozen or 15 of us who regularly put on photos and little comments. And that's lovely. I'm really enjoying that, seeing this sort of ongoing trickle of sight. Like you get a lot more wildness per day, even if you haven't got time to get, you see everyone else's, and you see everyone else's ideas of what, how to interpret this challenge and what kind of things to do.
39 participants have officially in the 30 Days Wild Galbraith chat. I didn't realize it was that much either. I work in the marketing department, so like that we're going to continue throughout the month just to, you know, do like our social commentary. And even from a team building point of view, Martin, it must be something that, you know, you're touching there on the hybrid working scheme. You know, we're recording this currently on Teams. This is something that everybody's gotten used to. And then things like group chats, you know, you've had to kind of almost embrace the technology. But with this particular group that we've got going now, you know, for you, you must be delighted with the kind of engagement that's getting out of your team.
Absolutely. I think it's fantastic. From an internal perspective, it's actually great that people can see other bits of the world where colleagues and compatriots are working, things they see. Some of it's work-related, some of it isn't. But some of it's, you know, to see an amazing view or a piece of wildlife and then tie it back to some of the things that are going on in the firm generally is really beneficial. And anything, to be honest, that brings our teams together even more is a great thing, because the downside of people being more remote is they don't see each other so often. So if you can do anything to bring them together and chat about things, that's a good thing.
Well, I'm interested in how this will benefit our professional life as well. And I've got this lovely remit where I'm working across work streams and I'm also working across offices, so I've got no limits. And I've always been interested in joining up dots and making connections and getting people collaborating in new ways. And certainly the biodiversity agenda was something that when I started as natural capital leader was, you know, carbon was a net zero was kind of at top of everyone's list, but it, biodiversity is very much second on the list. And in England, we've got biodiversity net gain coming in as a planning requirement, which is going to affect both people working on the construction side and also on the even more on the rural side. It's a potentially important income stream, biodiversity in future, and there'll be similar things in Scotland. Biodiversity is becoming something that sells, and so being able to tell a story of biodiversity can really add value to all kinds of products. So it's becoming recognised in the market, which is as it needs to be. We need an economy that embraces ecology and doesn't just take it for granted and count it as worthless. And that means that I think it's really important that we start to get more literate in ecology and in wildlife, whether we're working in forestry or farming or buildings or commercial valuations. It's starting to come in. It's been in around in regulation for a long time. If you're doing building works and you've got bats in the roof or other wildlife, then you have to do the appropriate management, get the experts in. But certainly I realised about the time that I discovered 30 Days Wild that I'd been being an environmentalist trying to save the planet, and I didn't actually know very much about ecology. And I still don't know very much about ecology. I'm far from an ecologist, but taking a bit of time to learn a bit about it and appreciate that great diversity of life and what there is actually on my doorstep, and that there are different types of bumblebees, and that there's more to plants than just the ones that have flowers on, all these things, start to understand how many sorts of fungi there are, even if I don't know what any of them are called. I think that's going to become an increasingly important journey for more and more professionals of all sorts. I think this is one of our first steps on developing that skill set. It's not just fun and well-being, it's actually also about businesses like ours.
From a business perspective, natural carbon reduction, a journey to net zero is going to be on our agenda going forward. it's really important. We did a green carbon audit for the last couple of years, identified where we're good and where we're bad. We've got plenty of improvements to do, and any appreciation of nature, this type of challenge, and what it brings to the firm and brings to people's understanding of the world and some of the challenges we've got is a good thing. So it's going to be on the agenda. It's going to be very much part of our business plan, and all these little bits help, I think.
What I was just going to ask you is both here is if there's anything on the like that we've had in the WhatsApp group that's that it could be something that you have posted yourself. Is there anything that stuck out for you that you kind of really, it just made you sit and kind of smile and appreciate a little bit more that got posted in the last kind of week or two?
Go on, Ellen, you go first.
Well, I loved your ants the other day, ants walking across the road and leaving a trail. That was brilliant. Somebody posted some porpoises on their bank holiday weekend. They've been chased by porpoises on their ship, and that's something I saw when I was on my bank holiday, but I didn't manage to take a photo. And that's always a delight. And I've enjoyed seeing various people doing things with their children, and I haven't got children, so I've never really managed to do very much. I've done 30 Days Wild for me is about rediscovering my inner child and getting fellow childless grown-ups doing silly things like making daisy chains and building sandcastles. But it's really nice to see families getting involved as well.
Yes, I've got two teenagers who weren't so keen to get involved so far anyway, but I did like your wild swim moment on in the Outer Hebrides. I thought that was good. It was a good example. The ants, which I call the Ant A9, I thought was just a fortunate moment when I saw that and you could hear the traffic screaming past in the background, actually. So that contrasted with the bird song, and there's been some lovely images of deer and hares and some amazing views. I particularly liked, actually, one or two people who've spotted butterflies, rare butterflies, perhaps they might not have seen. And somebody in Edinburgh actually switched on their night vision camera, which they hadn't used for months, probably prompted by the challenge, and spotted a badger walking past in the middle of the night. We have lots of badgers around, but you don't see them very often because they're always at night. So it just shows that even in an urban environment, there's plenty going on, which is good to see.
Yeah, I like the sensory ones. I do like the wild swimming, and you feel like you've got the feeling of the water all around you. And walking barefoot along on grass is one of the kind of simple challenges you can do, which I might try and get some of the Edinburgh office to partake in at some point on a sunny day, sunny lunchtime. I always say if you've never hugged a tree, you might feel this is a bit stupid, but actually just try it, because that feeling of the kind of feeling of the tree and when you put your cheek against the bark, and it's a real, you know, that to me, that's what the nature connection, as opposed to it's very good learning the names of things and seeing things, and that's all part of it as well, but that remembering to touch and feel and taste it, smell the earth after rain and this sort of thing, that's where I really see the nature connection developing.
Very much so. One of my favourite photos that got posted, I can't remember, I think it was maybe yesterday actually, and it was someone who posted a photo of their dog out on the kind of field of grass, and the caption was, you can't take a picture of the smell of cut grass, but here's Tiny enjoying it. And I thought that was really good, because that resonates with a lot of people, especially everybody kind of loves that smell of, well, maybe you don't, I suppose, if you've got bad hay fever, perhaps, but you love the smell of cut grass. And that, I think, that really kind of represents spring, summertime, and certainly was a cracking photo. And it was just like, just a dog in nature. And I think that kind of summed it up perfectly. And I think, Eleanor, you had it in your 100, in your graphic right at the start with, like, you know, your 100 ideas post, and you split them up into categories. And I think we've kind of been able to cover all of that in these posts in the last week or two. And I think, you know, we're only kind of really at the first week of June, so long may that continues. Hopefully the weather continues to get better as well.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see if people make it through the month, because so far it's going strong. And as we've got bank holidays easy because everyone's outdoors, and then we've got into back to work, and it seems to be still going, but we've got lots going on coming up. A lot of it's going to be at the Highland Show, and there's going to be it's a busy month. It's always a busy month. But so far, we've had more people joining the WhatsApp group and new people sort of starting as the month goes on. So my sense is it's escalating rather than running out of steam after the initial enthusiasm. So I really hope that continues, and hopefully we can make this an annual event.
By the time this podcast comes out, I'll be in Italy next week. So I think if there's any suggestions, Elner or even Martin, if you've got any ideas of what I should really be doing on the Italian coastline, just give us a shout as well.
Well, I think there'll be just as much wildlife there as well as wild behaviour probably, but wildlife too.
Spot bugs. That was when I had a summer of 30 days wild spotting bugs in the UK and going, oh, that's a very interesting small brown beetle and six types of bumblebees. And then I went on holiday, I think it was Italy, and just if you look at plants and, you know, if you look around a garden and the things flying about and the range and the colourfulness and the size of, creepy corallies in a good way, buzzing colourful butterflies and beetles and things. That's what, just have a look, see if you can bring us back some good photos.
As we start to wind down here, Martin, I really thank you for coming on again. It's been a pleasure kind of getting your insight into this and from a different perspective as well, from myself and Elner. And, you know, this is something that I think, you know, because so many people at Galbraith are embracing it, I think it's really important to have someone like yourself on to chat about what we're doing and things like that. So Martin, thanks very much for coming on.
Not at all. It's been a pleasure. Pleasure. Really interesting.
Yeah, and you've survived your first one. But so we say this, I think, to every guest, but you know, we're going to have you back on in the future.
Yes, I'm sure there'll be more future natural capital topics of all sorts that we can pick your brains on.
Sure.
Great to have you back on.
Yeah, and Elna, pleasure as always. Just before we go, is there anything you'd like to say to your listeners who may now be wanting to potentially take part in 30 Days Wild?
Oh, well, let's get started. If you're on social media, there's a hashtag 30 Days Wild, 30 Days Wild, and you'll find lots of people doing lots of things. You'll find some resources on the Wildlife Trust's pages. That help you to where you can sign up, say you're officially doing it, and be in their head count of who's doing it, and find lots of ideas. Hopefully we can. I made this 100 ideas for Galbraith, but I hope we can put that on our social media as well, because there's no reason we couldn't share that with everyone. That was that gives loads of ideas from that I collected for kind of things you could do. And don't worry that you've missed the start of June. There's nobody's keeping track. Nobody will know if you miss a day, but do try it out, because it's got so many hidden depths in a way for such a simple challenge. And do tweet us and social message us and let us know how you get on, if you're enjoying it.
Yeah, excellent. A reminder that you can catch up on our previous episodes of Talking Natural Capital. We're on Apple Podcasts, Anchor, and Spotify. This is now episode 6, so we're firing through as well, which is good. And I think, you know, from our point of view, we're really trying to kind of grow the brand that is, you know, the podcast, and it's just one of our services, obviously, now that we've got at Galbraith, which is really good to be a part of. Make sure to follow Galbraith across social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Follow your local offices as well. You know that we've got the Galbraith corporate pages, but it's important that, you know, you connect with your local offices. We're very keen for you to connect with your local agents out there as well, and tell a friend about our show. You know, we're always, like I said, we're always keen to share a natural capital journey with your audiences, and we look forward to hearing from your comments and things like that as we continue to go forward. And if you're attending the upcoming Royal Highland Show, that's our big marquee event of the year, and make sure to pop into our marquee and speak to our agents. Both of you will be there, I'm right in thinking. So
yeah, I'll be there Thursday and Friday, so do pop in and see us.
Yeah, excellent. And Elna, yourself? Yeah,
I'm there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, so lots of chance to come and say hello. Be lovely to meet everybody.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, it'll be great for people to come down and chat and get to know the faces behind Galbraith. So my thanks again to Elner and Martin, and we'll see you all down the road.